Everybody, and this is Celeste Duckworth, your host for Vertical Live Radio. And today we have Magda Ayuk, who is just finished doing a book called Bluebird of Poetry. Today we have an opportunity, we caught up with Magda. And so let me give you a little bit of intro before I bring her on the program. So Magda Ayuk is a poet, a self-care and financial literacy advocate, and a journalist. Her writing is underpinned by spirituality, race, gender, and love. In her free time, she flirts with the art of burlesque, music, and theater. Her book of poetry and prose, Bluebird, is both a political statement and a spiritual journey to self-love and healing in the face of oppression. Bluebird exposes the beauty and the ugly of the human experience by exploring the topics of race, gender, and love under the umbrella of freedom. Bluebird officially launched April during National Poetry Month, and Magda is currently based in Seoul, South Korea. So we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Magda today. So how are you today, Magda? How are you doing? We finally got our connection.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So I'm really glad to finally have you on the program.
I'm happy as well. I'm glad it was.
I know, right? It gets to be crazy sometimes when you're doing overseas interviews, but we're good. So I wanted to know if you would just read us one of your poems to get started for the program.
Okay. So this piece is called Bloom. This isn't poetry, because it's not Shakespeare or Dickens or Goethe or White, and because I make it a point not to rhyme all the time. This isn't poetry, because the freeness of my verse is perhaps too free, and people like me should be in chains. Would it be poetry if I compared my blackness to the sea? They both inspire wonder and fear, or maybe the sun would make more sense. Since it burns, badum-dum. Softness and coal and soul and soul, and don't forget the heavy meals that find their way to my hips. Surely my experience needs more flowers. No, my experience is the flower.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what we want to start with today, Magda, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, where you're from and when did you start writing poetry?
Okay, I'm from Canada. I'm born in Canada. My parents are from Cameroon. And my first piece actually that I wrote was when I was 8 years old. And I wrote about a bluebird eating breadcrumbs near a park bench. And that actually got published. Like, looking back, there was nothing great about that poem, but that was my first piece that I've ever written. And I revisited poetry when I moved to Korea in 2014. It was a hard time for me. I left mm-hmm. Montreal because my business was failing, so I moved to Korea to teach English, and I didn't know anyone. So it was a time of transition. It was quite rough. So I started writing again mm-hmm. as therapy. Mm-hmm. And I started posting my pieces on Instagram, and they were well received, and I decided to write a book.
Okay. Very good. So, but you're also, I was reading something that you write more, and just correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of your inspiration when you're writing, not a lot, but some of it is when you're angry at something or you see something that you didn't like. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I'm angry, I just get it in the zone, a bunch of different pieces. That's why mm-hmm. a lot of people demonize anger, but to me, it's mm-hmm. it inspires change. So and inspires art, so I embrace it.
That's a good way of looking at it, though. I don't think a lot of people look at that, especially when it comes to poetry. I've heard people read some poetry and they're like, oh, that's so sad. But I'm like, actually, it's really good. It's not sad. It's just, you know, it just makes it, you know, a different type of poetry. I think you can express yourself more positively.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we have to honor all our emotions, not just happiness.
Okay. I saw your video and I really liked it. Can you tell me what inspired you to do the video?
Okay. So anger inspired that video as well. The last school I was working at, there were a bunch of racist incidents that happened, and it just made me even more so hyper aware of my otherness and my blackness. So one day I was going to my new job, and I just was feeling that people were looking at me, and that when they saw me, they were thinking all these things about me, all these stereotypes. So that's how I got the idea to create this video where it would have derogatory words that people use against women of color, and have that written on my body to make a statement that these words are more so a reflection of those who think that way, and it doesn't define who I am.
And how was that video received? When it first came out, did you get any positive feedback from it?
Yeah, I got a lot of positive feedback about the video. I'm happy about that. I didn't get anything negative because the video didn't blow up. Like it didn't go viral or anything, but the people who did see it, they really appreciated it.
Okay. All right. And we'll be posting that video on Vertical Magazine for any of our guests who are listening. So you'll have a chance to see it on the magazine, and you'll be able to read a little bit more on that. So I have a few questions. So when did you really realize that poetry would be the vehicle of your person? Because I know you're also a journalist. So why does poetry how did poetry become the vehicle of your expression?
Because it helped me a lot when I was going through a rough time. And since my pieces were helping others as well, as I was posting them to Instagram, I decided to focus on poetry. It's something that I became really passionate about. I still like writing articles and analyzing different topics that are going on in the world. But poetry, that's my heart right now. So that's what I'm deciding to focus on.
There's another poem in your book that I actually love. I actually liked a lot of them there, you know, because they were some of them were very raw, but I found them really refreshing. My favorite one I think right now is Rope-A-Dope. And so I was wondering if you would read Rope-A-Dope for us.
Okay. I've learned to withstand pain. Pain and I, we cool. Torn muscles, stronger flex. Isn't that the rule? Pour salt over my wounds. Watch me move my hips to jazz and blues. Does my resilience surprise ya? Thought I told ya, we cool. I can turn salt into sugar. Cigarettes into sun, heal centuries of hurt through the juju of my tongue.
And that is my favorite.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit why you wrote Rope-A-Dope. What was going on then? What inspired you?
My friend actually gave me that idea. She's like, you should write a piece about Rope-A-Dope. I watched a documentary about the fight between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. It's called Rumble in the Jungle. Yeah, so Muhammad Ali has this technique where well, he had this technique where he trained himself to withstand pain. So then, like, at the end of the match, the opponent would be really tired. So then he could start fighting back. So I was really, I really loved that technique, and it really inspired me. And it just, it relates to how people of color, we go through so much. And at some point you do kind of get used to, I don't want to curse, the things that we, we get used to all that. It makes us resilient. So that's what inspired this, the resilience of people of color.
Okay. What do you see as the role of poets in today's culture? What is the role of poets or poetry in today's culture?
Okay. Well, Langston Hughes said that poetry can change the way people think. And if you change the way people think, you're going to change the way they act. And once you change the way they act, they can change the world. So that's the power of poetry. That's my aim with my pieces. I really want to inspire Black people to embrace who they are and be unapologetic about it and to love themselves, because that's a weapon. That's rebellion.
I can see that, loving yourself and being loving yourself to the point that you're strong enough that it doesn't bother you. But at the same time, you're making a statement.
Yeah, exactly. Because the world will have us think that we're not good enough. And if we go around with that mentality, we can't achieve our true potential.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. So what kind of poetry or reading are you drawn to for yourself?
I'm really into the Harlem Renaissance right now. Langston Hughes is my favorite. I'm really into poetry that's on Instagram as well, because that's how I really started. I started on Instagram. I like Alex L. I like Nahir. How do I pronounce her name? Waheed, that's her last name. I don't know if you're familiar with that writer. She's really talented. So right now I've just been really reading Harlem Renaissance pieces.
Okay. And so how did you get really, because I know that in one of the interview questions we talked about, you were saying that the Harlem Renaissance really inspired you. How did you get to into the Harlem Renaissance? Who exposed you to that?
I follow. There's a page that's dedicated to Langston Hughes poems. So I follow that page on Twitter, and that's what introduced me to the Harlem Renaissance poetry.
Do you think we're having a resurgence in I feel like we're having a resurgence of poetry, probably stronger than in the last few years. Even in just here in the U.S. Do you think that resurgence is kind of like another type of renaissance?
Yeah, I definitely do think so. And even when you look at what's going on in music, artists like Janelle Monáe, Kendrick Lamar, and even Beyoncé, her performance at Coachella, there's just so much, there's a celebration of Blackness, it's a celebration of otherness, and I'm totally here for it, and it inspires me.
So which poet do you feel is underrated right now? When you're thinking about either the Harlem Renaissance or poetry that you've read, which poet alive or dead do you feel is really underrated?
The thing is, with poetry, it's not really mainstream, I would say, because of Instagram, it's becoming more so. So there are like Instagram poets, that's what people call them, Instagram poets, who are popular, like Alex L, like I mentioned before, Reina B. So I would say the poets who are dead and who are not on Instagram, those would be underrated, because most people don't know about them, because most people aren't really into poetry. And they probably would be into poetry if they were exposed to it more.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, as a poet, are there other areas of creativity? I know that you love the art of burlesque. So tell me about that.
I started performing burlesque in October 2017. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I had been interested in it for maybe 3 years. And then one day my friend asked me, she's like, do you want to join this all black girl group? And I was like, yeah, sure. So then we started performing. We've done a few shows in Seoul, and we have another show this Saturday. And it's just been really fun to express myself in that way. I sing as well, so I sing while I do my dancing. So it's been totally fun to see the effect that you can have on people.
Okay. And what are some of your other favorite non-poetry activities?
I also do theater. So I started doing theater recently, actually. So it's a combination of burlesque / theater. That's what I did with one group that I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
So I do theater. Besides that, like I said, I sing. I think mainly in terms of art, that's what I'm into. I'm into storytelling. So that's what I really like about burlesque as well, because you can tell a story.
Right, right. So how popular is poetry, though, in Korea, in South Korea?
I'm not really sure. There are, popular South Korean poets, but since they write in Korean, I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. So let's have you read another poem from your book.
Okay, I'll read Goddess Blood. You know those type of compliments that strip you of your skin, turn your gender into sin? Honey, let me tell you about a man named, well, let's call him Bob to protect his identity. This man took me out on a date one night, right? It all started quite perfect. He was cute, sweet, and smelled of rain, but it didn't take long before he blew it. He said, "You're not like those other blacks who cuss and holler and yap. You're not like those other girls who whine and cry and skip dinner time. I had to drop my fork. Do you think I hate myself? I have to scream it this time. Do you think I hate myself? I have the blood of black women in my veins. If I picked up my fork and poked at my wrist, you would be in the presence of God." He said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to." "You didn't mean to, but you did." I picked up my purse, walked out the door, and never saw that sucker again. Now, honey, I hope this never happens to you, but if it does, you're now prepared. If a man ever disrespects you, you let him know who raised you.
Okay. I like that one. That's a good one. So when you finished writing the poetry in your book, and I just want to say too, I love the way you have, I love the way that your poetry is in your book. It's a unique way of actually writing it in the book, and I thought I really liked it. I really just liked reading it and seeing how you had it in there. When you finished your book, what did you edit out of the book? Was there anything that you felt you needed to edit out the book?
Yeah, the book went through a lot of changes. At the beginning of April, actually, it's kind of like I rewrote the book. I took out a lot of pieces. I added in new pieces. Because I started writing this book 3 years ago. So as I was reading it, as I was reading some of the pieces, I'm like, okay, I don't really like this anymore. Scratch that. let me replace it with something else. Throughout the years, my influences have changed. So that's why I started reading a lot of Harlem Renaissance pieces. And so some of my newer pieces are inspired by the Harlem Renaissance.
So that,
yeah, that's what happened to the book.
Oh, okay. Okay. So now, do you have a lot of support from your family as being a writer, a poet?
Yeah, definitely. My family's always supported my arts. They never pressured me into like studying something more practical. I studied English literature in university, and that was encouraged because they always saw talent in me. They're like, okay, you're a good writer, so just pursue that. So I'm really fortunate in that regard.
Okay, that's good. That's great. So now, do you ever get writer's block when you're like in the midst of writing something, or like when you were writing this book, did you ever just have like a writer's block and just say, okay, I need to step back, or what did you do about it?
I don't really experience writer's block. I just write what's on my mind, and then I edit it. It's a lot of editing.
Okay. All right. So now you do a lot of other things, your financial advocacy, and tell me a little bit about the other things that you do in your career.
Okay. Well, I lived in Macau for a year, and while I lived there, I managed to save $20,000. So when I left Macau, I write about how I did it. So I became really passionate about financial literacy in that time. And also, I left Montreal and I moved to Asia because I was broke. I had a business and my business failed. And I know how that feels to have nothing and to feel trapped in your situation. And I wanted to help people with their money. So I created a free course to help people save money. And yeah, so that's... I am an advocate for financial literacy because, like, I remember when I started CGIP, when I started college right after high school, there were credit card companies who would come to our school and try to get people to sign up to credit cards. And there was no education about money. It's just young people saw that and, like, they were like, great, free money. Let me just sign up for this credit card and just spend it. And that's how people get trapped.
Right.
So I really am passionate about talking about money with people and just helping them out when I can, where I can.
So how did you move to Seoul with nothing?
I applied for a job teaching English. And, yeah, the interview was done via Skype. And I got the job. I had to buy the plane ticket. And then I got reimbursed. So my dad bought the ticket for me. Yeah, my dad bought it for me. And then when I got there, I got my first paycheck after a month, and then I paid my dad back. So that's how that worked.
Wow, that's great. And so how do you like teaching? How do you like teaching in school?
The thing, okay. So there are good sides to teaching and there are bad sides to it. I really enjoy my students. I really enjoy my students. They're fun. I was teaching kindergarten, but at the same time, I didn't like disciplining them. My students were very pampered, so they're not used to following rules. I was surprised to see how childish they were. I know that sounds weird because they're like 5 years old. But they acted younger than I expected that they would act. So that was a tough part. They got really attached to me, so that was great. We got along really well, but it was kind of tough to deal with all the crying and the fighting. So there's that. But overall, it was a positive experience. It's just that teaching English as a second language, I would say, it's not my passion. I would prefer teaching literature. Creative writing. That's what I would prefer to do, not just teaching English as a second language. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, how do you like living in Seoul, though? What do you like about living there?
There's a big art scene. Well, I wouldn't say big, but there's an art scene here. There's a community of artists that is quite close, and that's one of the favorite things I love about living here. So I got into burlesque, I got into theater, and everyone is just super supportive of one another. So that's one of the things I like about living in Seoul. Also, transportation, it's easy to get around. You don't need a car to live here. And you can save money. It's cheaper than living in Montreal, in my opinion. Also, because you have less bills, your employer usually pays your rent, so that's a burden on your shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great perk.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really, I might have to come to Korea. Wow. So, as being a financial advocate. Have a lot of people used your methods and contacted you and told you how well it's worked with them? How do you gauge that?
I've had quite a few people message me. Probably around 250 people signed up for my course. And I've gotten a lot of emails, people telling me that the tips are simple, but it really helped make changes. So that's always good for me to hear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So where can people get Bluebird right now? Because we know that it was released here in April. So where can they get a copy of Bluebird at?
You can go on Amazon and type in Bluebird and my name, Maida Ayuk, and it'll pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the Kindle or the paperback. Both are available.
Okay, great. And so do you have a new project that you're working on now?
Yeah, I'm working on my second book. I'm trying to go the traditional publishing route. Self-publishing was an experience, but I think I want to experience something else for my next project.
what was the best thing about self-publishing?
I guess that you're in total control of the project, like marketing, and also deciding when to release it. You're also in control of that. But it's just been a little stressful having to do everything. I did start working with Black Chateau, which has been really great. Really awesome. She helped me get featured on different sites, so that was good. I want to try traditional publishing, so I'm going to submit my second book to a publisher in a week. So I finished the second book. I just sent it to my editor. So, hopefully it'll be out. Yeah.
So can you give us a little taste of what the second book is about?
What the collection
is about?
The working title is Things We Hide in the Dark. So this book is exploring topics that we usually don't speak about out loud, you know, that we don't share.
Okay.
So it explores shame, and it explores expressing yourself despite that shame. So I'm really excited about this project. There's a lot I am, I guess, revealing about my life in it. And I'm excited.
Okay. Nice. And what was the hardest part though about self-publishing? I meant to ask you that. What was the part that you didn't really like about self-publishing?
There was a lack of support from Amazon, not to back them, but it was that. The lack of support, like the customer service is not the best. So yeah, if you do encounter any problems with your book, it's kind of like you're on your own. You're going to have to make several calls and just try to get the situation handled. So that was my least favorite part. Besides that, getting a lot of people to read your book, that's the challenge, but I'm enjoying that challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how are you doing with marketing? Because I know that I know the biggest thing, and every once in a while I'll be talking to writers, and the biggest thing I think we all have in common is the marketing aspect. So what is the percentage of marketing you do on your own?
Well, I've been working with Desiree, so she handles a lot of that. Since I've been really putting in a lot of time on into my second book because of a deadline that I have to meet, I haven't been doing much marketing for Bluebird. I've made some posts on Instagram, but I haven't really gone hard with it. But I will start. Mm-hmm. Once I submit the second book, I'm going to start marketing Bluebird more heavily. Facebook, ads, I'm going to explore that. And I do have a following on Instagram, and I'm going to utilize that more.
Okay. All right. Well, Magda, I've enjoyed having you on the program, and I think one of the questions I always ask writers and authors and poets, I always ask them to give me an opinion or advice on what you would say to an up-and-coming poet or writer that you think is the best advice from you.
I would say to read a lot of poetry, and also take classes, enroll in poetry workshops. You should always be working on your craft. You should never be comfortable where you're at. There's always room for improvement. So those would be my top two. Read a lot and join a poetry workshop so you can get your pieces critiqued. You can critique your peers' work. So it's a growing experience.
No, that's a brilliant answer. I think what you just said is really good. Read a lot and get into some different, poetry groups, and I think that's great advice there. Well, Magda, I've enjoyed having you on my program. Can I get you to read one more poem as we go out?
Okay. So this one actually is my favorite, Garden Full of Bones. There's a garden full of bones round the back. Just bones? Bones and flowers. But why? The bones help the flowers grow. Death ushering in more life. Where'd you get the... Never mind, I don't want to know. Doesn't matter anyway. What does, though, is that these bones saved my garden. Funny part is, you can't even see the bones, but I know they're there. Crush them myself. Sprinkle it like magic. Makes you think. Think what? About other things that are here that we can't see. Like ghosts? I don't know what to call them. Invisible beings helping us flower. Kind of long for a name. This conversation is giving me a chill to the bone. Why? Just because you don't understand them doesn't mean they mean you harm. Well, I think there's more to life than meets the eye. There's gotta be. Look at my garden. All you see is flowers and butterflies and birds and bees, and no one would know that this here is a garden full of bones.
Great. Thank you so much, Magda. We appreciate having you on the program today. Can you tell our audience where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram, so Magda Ayuk, MAGDAAYUK. You can find me on Twitter, same name. Facebook, same name. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope you'll think about us when your new book comes out. And we're going to have this broadcast will be in Vertical Magazine in the next couple of days. I'll send you a link. And we'll be promoting it out for everybody to hear. We'll be promoting your book as well on there for people who want to buy it. We'll provide a link right to it. But I just loved having you on here. I appreciate your time, knowing that you are a day ahead of us, and it's early in the morning. So I really appreciate your time. Right. So thank you so much, Magda. We appreciate you being on our program today, and we will definitely be looking more at what you're doing. And I'm going to have to connect with you on Instagram and Twitter so I can keep up with you as well. So thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank our guests and Team Vertical for volunteering and planning and production of A Taste of Ink Live. Our guest, Magda Ayuk. We will have more information for you, and we'll be sharing it on our social media pages for you to be able to pick up. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio at the Renaissance Cafe. You can listen to the tape program later today or tomorrow. And then just let you know, our upcoming programs are May the 10th. We will have Laura C. Bullock, who is the CEO of Hope's Crossing. She's also a strategist. And we'll be talking to two of her clients and talking about the power of mentoring entrepreneurs. On May the 12th, our featured guest will be D.L. Yancey, whose songs have been noted as original, soulful tunes of creative spiritual messages. So I would love to have everyone just come back and listen to us. Thank you again for listening to Vertical Live Radio. This is your host, Celeste Duckworth. And have a great day.